What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, the Champions Cup in rugby went down yesterday in France. And before the game, three skydivers were scheduled to deliver the match ball onto the pitch. Now, two of the three parachutists, they landed as scheduled. The third skydiver, not so lucky. He ended up, kind of stuck in the lights above the actual stadium, where he was left dangling for 20 minutes. Now, as a precaution, you know, safety first, a bouncy castle from outside was positioned below him, but eventually he was freed by rescuers on a cherry picker. Now, the match was delayed for a total of 40 minutes. Meanwhile, the Wharton County Youth Fair Extreme Bull Event in Texas, it started on time last Thursday. However, that did not prevent anything from going wrong. In this case, it was not a parachutist. It was a 24-year-old bull rider. He found out that a custom helmet and a Kevlar vest are a joke, particularly when the punchline is, a bull tramples you. The rider was thrown from a bull, and then the bull stepped on his neck. And let's just say that things ended poorly. Now, my first thought was, maybe my parents were in attendance. And I say that because the last two times they went to Cirque du Soleil, they witnessed tragic mishaps. We'll leave it at that. Hell, Miles and I, we were fortunate enough to go to a Super Bowl in New Orleans in person. So, of course, the stadium blacked out during the game. Good times. Good times. And these are just some of the stories that we've come across. Stories that left us with many questions. Questions we'd like to ask you in the form of a random question brought to you by our friends at Advanced Hair Restoration. But this is how it works. You call us, we'll ask you a question at complete random. And after you share your story, we will share with you the news story that inspired said question.
To be a part of the big show, the random question, call 206-803-ROCK. All of it, y'all, is away we go. Welcome to the 20th anniversary season, episode number 4,297. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeats. Starting return of your guests is as good as mine coming up at 4:30. And today, our two categories, we have 10 major league ballparks that you need to visit.
That we must visit.
Well, they're saying that these are the 10 best. So a guy named Garrett Carr, he is a writer from Bro Bible. He visited every single baseball park in the United States.
Okay.
And he rated them subjectively. Which ones did he like the best? Which ones
just based
the best
on like food, sight lines, all the stuff.
Yeah. How convenient it is to being either downtown or
okay.
A lot of these ballparks aren't in the middle of nowhere. Some are just must-sees based on the history involved in the ballpark. I think we know those. Other just the beauty of the ballpark, the sight line when you're looking out into the outfield as far as the city goes and everything else.
What's the name of Frisco's baseball park?
Used to be AT&T Park. I don't know what it is now.
I don't know what it is now.
That is a great ballpark, man.
It is.
Like, clean sight lens. I forgot that the water's on the other side. We went there, like, 5 years ago. The game's kind of boring. So me and the wife were like, let's walk around. And then when we walk, you know, in the outfield, I'm like, oh, God, right. Yeah. I forgot the bay is right there. Now, it was outstanding.
I have never been to a game in Wrigley. But I have, been to the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a Billy Joel was playing there for two nights that weekend that I was in town. Man, I had a great time just hanging out in Wrigleyville with all the people that were going to go to the concert. And as far as, like, a stadium that is in the middle of a really cool neighborhood in downtown, like, that had everything to offer.
Yeah.
Wrigley's great, period.
Great places to eat. A lot of action going on the streets.
Oh, sure, man.
Streets shut down. People drinking beers outside. It was a cool environment. Much the same as Petco Park down in San Diego.
It's a pretty decent park, man.
Where you're down in the gas lamp. We're fortunate here to have a stadium where you can be down in Pioneer Square,
mm-hmm.
have some food down there, get some beers, and it's an easy walk over to the stadium. So a lot of those ballparks appear on this list.
I would think so, yeah.
You know, and to be honest with you, baseball stadiums, like, for an example, the one that's in Atlanta, is just in the middle of nowhere. So it's
that.
Not downtown.
Right.
It's kind of like Arlington. They kind of
built say Arlington sucks,
a town around this area of private land developers.
Around a parking lot, essentially.
Yeah, but once you get out there, you're kind of just out there. You're not really, it's like going to the, probably like Levi Stadium in San Francisco.
God, you're
going to watch
sucked.
The 49ers. You are out in the middle of nowhere. So I've got the 10 best Major League ballparks to visit. And we'll revisit the category of America's favorite hot sauce preferences. And they broke everything down by state and then came up with the top 10 hot sauces that are sold here in the United States. And honestly, they are incredibly regional as far as what people consider to be their tried and true hot sauce. And depending on where you live, you use something a little bit different as far as your hot sauce. And if you go to New Orleans, you're going to get one thing. You are going to get Tabasco. It's not that they don't have other options. It's just that is the tried and true. When you were in Louisiana, you are the Tabasco plant is downtown. You can smell it.
Mm-hmm.
You can smell them making that hot sauce.
Well, they use Tabasco like most people use ketchup. It is a dipping. It's just a condiment. It's not even like hot sauce to them. They're like, you want hot. They got something for you, but like Tabasco, it's like a salt shaker or Heinz ketchup.
You can order beignets for breakfast. They'll bring out hot sauce with it. Because there's somebody out there that wants hot sauce on their donuts.
I don't think I found a hot sauce that I don't like. There are some I like better than others. There are some that are just too spicy for me to eat. But overwhelmingly, if you got hot sauce, I'll eat it.
Yep. So we have the top 10 hot sauces. Any idea here in Washington State, I'll give you one on the list. That is the number one selling hot sauce here, which is completely different than California and different than Oregon.
Tapatio.
Tapatio is on the list. That is California.
Chihula?
Chihula is on the list. That is Oregon.
Sriracha.
We are a Frank's Red Hot.
Oh,
state.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
All right. That's cool.
That's
where
a standard bearer, I think.
Figures in. So the categories today, again, Major League ballparks and hot sauce coming up with your guess is as good as mine at 4:30. And some good news for you. If you want a party, this is the week we do it, man. Men's Room 20th Anniversary World Tour. Stop number 3, Muckleshoot Casino with the Reunited. New originals, truth be told, they're practicing for the first time tonight and probably would spend a year or so since the breakup.
Yeah, practice tonight, practice tomorrow night, and boy, we hope it's good tomorrow night, because that's it.
Okay.
That is it.
It is a free show at 2 o'clock at Muckleshoot Casino.
That's what we're worth.
Hey, by the way, that casino is awesome. That room that you guys are going to
be playing. Yeah, the Galaxy room is great, man.
It's a fantastic place to come down and hang out. We will have the Men's Room 20th Anniversary Lager.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have the Men's Room IPA from Black Raven. We'll have the Beer Broths from Willie's Famous Sausage. And the Roasted Red Salsa from our friends at San Juan Salsa Company. Basically, it's just a good excuse for a free show to come out and drink in the afternoon and join us as the Men's Room World Tour hits up Auburn for the Muckleshoot Casino and the Reunited New Originals. Okay. Today is the day that we do our random question, 206-803-ROCK.
Guess who it is, Ted?
James.
James, welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
Hola. Okay, James.
How's it going, fellas?
We're doing great.
Happy Monday. Happy, awesome. Beautiful, sunny Monday.
That's right.
Happy Monday. Yeah, I know. It's beautiful outside.
All you got to do is go above the clouds. It's always the thing, like, when you fly back to Seattle around that. Like, if you go somewhere sunny, like, we know what the weather is in Seattle. It's not a surprise, but, like, you go somewhere sunny, you get on the plane, it goes above the clouds, you kind of forget
that rain even exists. Sky's blue. And then once they say, we're making our final descent to Seattle, I mean, the sky turns black. Mm-hmm. The plane starts rattling back and forth. You're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, we can see the flight patterns come in depending on how the airport's working. On Friday.
Every time.
On Friday, I saw Hawaiian Air
fly
in to Seattle. And I just thought, those are the saddest people on that plane.
Well, Friday wasn't so bad.
No, I know that, but there's
still... Friday was a decent day.
But they still know.
Yeah.
They still know what's going to happen. I mean, it might be a day or two, but they know.
Saturday was decent.
They know. They know. I mean,
I would say it's... Like, when I got back last weekend from Vegas, when we landed, it was sunny. And I was
All right, man.
Okay. James, let's go with this question. What did you find in your home? What did you find in your home?
So I bought my 16-year-old daughter a pair of earrings, and she had lost one for about a couple of years. We moved out of the apartment, and I happened to find the other one when we were moving the couches right behind it.
Were they expensive?
That's the first thing it comes. Yes, they were a couple $100.
Jeez, man.
Did she still have the other one?
She did.
Okay, all right. So that was a good move to find that.
Yeah, absolutely. And she kept them, and she still has them to this day. She's 22. So
okay, so for six years, she's had them now. Have you ever found anything weird in your house? Like you come home, there's a squatter, raccoon in the garage, anything like that?
No, nothing like that. No, nothing weird.
Okay. All right, good for you, man. Actually, I was smoking last night, and I did not see this cat at first. Because this cat is kind of a dark gray, and it's, you know, it's misty outside. It's at night, and I hear them. And then I see this little lumpy form, and there's like this, a hole in the fence between me and the neighbors. I call it the Silk Road because every animal cuts through that hole, right? Raccoons, coyotes, cats, dogs, you name it. So it's out there doing that thing. And first I think it's looking at me. Then I realize it's looking through the fence. And I sat there about an extra 10 minutes because it never really descended into the fence, but I could hear another cat kind of making the sound back, right? And I'm like, I can't tell if they're about to fight or if this cat's in heat. And I really wanted to see what was going to happen, but it just went on too long. And I'm like, either fight or F, right? Like, what are you going to do? It's not that it matters to me. I just want to know. That cat scared the piss out of me. I did not realize it was there.
The first house I ever got was an older Rambler. And one of the previous owners had redone the bathroom.
Yeah.
But not by any time recently. Like, that house was built in the 1940s. They might have done it in the 1960s or whatever. But based on the newspapers, I found stuff in through the walls. So when I'm taking the drywall down and I'm taking the tile out and just basically gutting the thing, there were rags, T-shirts, balled up newspapers.
But for insulation?
Yes. Like, this guy did not buy insulation. It almost looked like he went to a Goodwill store or took all of his own
things. It's cheaper, right?
All of his own things.
Said, I'll insulate it this way.
And and I'm like, what is going on? And I mean, it was... Every single time between another 2x4, there would just be more crap. None of it was of any value. It was like the old Annapolis newspapers, the Capitol.
Yeah.
The Capitol. And rags, T-shirts, kids' clothes. It was just a hodgepodge of whatever this guy could find. He stuffed it down as insulation in the bathroom only. Because I took down another wall in another part of the house. So he was not... He did this after the fact, but apparently it must have been cold in the bathroom.
That makes sense, yeah.
So he figured out this is the solution to the problem. That was a little bit strange.
One of the craziest things, it was not my house, it was Castle's house. And he has a pretty big patio out back now, but when he first decided to do it, I went over there and help him dig up the yard, right? No big deal. Summer day, it's hot as F. I think it was the hottest day in Seattle that year, whatever year this was, maybe 10 years ago. Anyway, we start digging. And he's like, Jesus Christ, we're like 20 feet away from each other. I'm like, what, man? And he picks this thing up. I think it's a rock at first. It's a bone. It's a neck bone, right? So I'm like, that's kind of weird, man. Maybe your dog buried it. We're like, all right, cool. It did not matter where we dug in his yard. Like, there were just bones everywhere, man. And as best we could tell, they were like vertebrae. And we're like, what the F? So now we're just kind of skeeved out. So we keep digging, right? And like some bones are turning up with every shovel hit. And then we hit this rock, but it looked like a skull at first. We're like, oh, my God. We're like, okay, we need to relax. That's just a rock. But he had this huge collection of bones just sitting on his back porch. We still do not know why they were there.
Something crawled, I believe, either under that and died, or they buried a pet maybe before they built the deck.
But it had to be multiple pets, man. I mean, this was spread out over, and that's kind of what freaked us out. If it had been in one area, you go like, all right, an animal died. But like I said, we're 20 feet away from each other. We dug out a pretty big pit. I'm like, dude, mm-hmm.
You're on a goddamn graveyard.
Could
man.
Be animals though. Like I have a buddy. His parents, every animal they've ever owned, they buried in the yard.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
How many are out there?
Like 6 or 7.
Wow. Jesus. Okay.
But have they been in the same house for 30-some years, 40 years?
Okay. I've never buried a pet. You know,
no, I haven't either.
You know, I mean, maybe a goldfish when I'm 4 or something like that, but I can't imagine. And look, it's not a big deal. I just can't imagine, like, digging up my yard, throwing the dog in it.
Well, someone's going to come and take it up anyway.
That's my thought.
Unless you're down deep enough.
Yeah.
Someone's like, going to come
and I'd bury my dog, then neighbor's dog's going to come over and dig his ass up.
Raise me ask, what did you find in your home? Temperatures are beginning to rise in the Valley of the Sun down in Phoenix. And could possibly see its first triple-digit day of the year. But with the heat come some creepy crawlies that health officials are warning residents to be aware of. As the weather warms, venomous insects like spiders and scorpions start to emerge.
Cool.
And these bugs are looking to escape the heat and find food and water. So where do they go? They go to your house. Last year, the Poison Control Center received over 5,000 scorpion stings, over 100 rattlesnake bite calls. They say they have already received an influx of calls this year. Young children and seniors, they say, are the most at risk. They say to stay calm if you're bitten or stung by a venomous bug. Wash the impacted area with soap and water. Also apply a cold compress to reduce any pain and swelling. But they do avoid against using ice, heat, or tourniquets on these bites or stings, as they can do more harm than good.
Huh.
So be on the lookout if you're in Arizona. Now we have a story of a real estate transaction that fell apart just 1 hour before closing after a shocking discovery involving an alleged squatter at the property. The potential buyers, they had been under contract since March the 1st, chose to walk away from the deal after encountering a legal complication involving the seller's adult daughter.
Matt.
According to the prospective buyers in a post, everything appeared to be in order until the final walkthrough, which took place just before the scheduled closing. Now, during the walkthrough, they discovered the seller's daughter had moved back into the property over the previous weekend. Her belongings and even her dog had been brought back to the home, despite the seller's intentions to finalize the sale. Now, the potential buyers alleged that local law enforcement called to the property multiple times, confirmed the daughter's claim of tenant's rights. So the would-be buyers explained that there was no leasing agreement in place. Her name was not on the deed. However, officers apparently stated that they had visited the property 4 to 5 times in the past month and could do nothing, as it was now considered a civil matter. As a result, the buyers decided to cancel the transaction 1 hour before closing, citing concerns over the inability to evict the woman without a formal eviction process. Now, under New York state law, squatters who have lived on a property for more than 30 days are legally protected and must be evicted through the formal court process.
Who in their right mind
thought that up?
You don't have a lease. So you're just in someone's home while it's empty. If I'm there long enough.
They're claiming tenant rights. They get to do
that. Then it's like, oh, it's mine.
But are you a tenant if you did not sign a lease? Did not have a mortgage?
They say it takes months or even years to remove squatters from a property, especially when they claim tenant rights.
Well, I mean, you can claim it. I can claim I'm Superman. What the hell does that have to do with anything? That's crazy to me.
Yeah, I know.
That is insane.
Good thing they didn't buy it, because if that's the legality of all that crap, it's not worth it.
I'd be so pissed if I bought a house, walk in there, and it's like, hey, man, tenant's rights. Like, wait a minute. I'm living with you now?
Yeah.
Until I leave. Oh, God damn. Yep. You saw what I saw. Yeah. All right.
We just need to reset our phones again.
Yeah. Okay. It's literally dropped off as I was picking over there.
Let's see here. I'll give you guys one. Who are you scared to be riding in the car with while they're driving?
My mother.
Your mother?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just straight up, man. You know, you know, when you're a kid, you don't really notice things as much. It's just how your parents drive. But as I got older, I just questioned some of the decision-making.
Does she drive recklessly or too slow?
Too slow, but slow enough to the point of being reckless. Like, Ted, you say, like, I drive slow. You drive the speed limit. Right. She's not quite doing that. But then even the... Actually, you know what? Cancel that. My uncle. So my Uncle Ray, he's a little out there, always has been. But just as an example of one moment of me being in the car with him, we're on the East Coast. I don't remember where we were going, but we're on the equivalent of I-5. He takes an exit, realizes it's the wrong exit, which most people just go, damn. And you figure out a way to get back on the expressway, right? He threw the car in reverse. Mm. Again, on the freeway, pulling out of an exit. It was a terrifying moment. Terrifying. And I'm like, man, yeah. I cannot ride with him again. And I remember I got home, told my father about it, which was the wrong thing to do. Because my father, he just deals with stuff instantly. And I hear him just tearing my uncle up and down. I'm like, man, I did not tell you that for you to scream at him. Just, I was just kind of relating a story that I thought was crazy. My father's like, he's not going to kill my son, man. He's like, I'm absolutely going to yell. Man, you do not want to get in the car with this guy.
Okay. All right. I guess probably myself.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, as far as just...
You don't drive safe, but you drive well.
I can drive.
I think that's the best way to put it. Yes.
I mean, I don't worry myself too much. I just know sometimes when I have passengers in the car that sometimes I can tell I'm worrying them a bit. So I'm just being self-conscious of this. I know for a fact.
I think it's more of I'm worried about getting sick in your car.
From the way that I drive.
Yeah. Like, I'm not worried about you hitting something, but there's a lot of speed ups, slow downs, changing lanes.
Okay, fair enough.
Didn't one of your kids say that to you? Like, I'm going to get sick.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, but like my one daughter, she drives, like, you know, very, very aggressively.
All right.
But the thing is with her, like, her car is her cockpit. As far as, like, she got two phones mounted here.
Oh,
she's
God.
Got like, French fries here. She's always got a drink. She's always got a water bottle. She gets in the car with, like, four bags over her shoulders and, like, sets up office, you know, around her before she even takes off in the car. I'm just like, what is all this? Like, why do you need all this?
Some people just talk too much.
And they look at you when they're talking.
Correct.
Like, I can hear you. Just keep looking through the windshield.
She's switching artists on her phone while she's driving. Right. Blah, 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 blah. Raise my ass, who are you scared to be in the car with? A 77-year-old man is in serious condition after he launched his car from a multi-story parking platform in Queen Anne.
Okay, him.
Emergency crews rushed to the First Avenue area shortly before 9 a.m., where they found the crash car upside down on an apartment patio. The driver was extricated from the vehicle, taken to a hospital for treatment. The car had gone over a cement parking bumper, through a metal railing, and dropped approximately 12 to 15 feet, landing on the patio below. Police believe speed was a factor.
You don't say.
There was probably a significant amount of speed because he went over a barrier, then a railing, then a wall, before he flipped his vehicle onto the patio. A resident said they'd never seen or heard of anything like that happening before in the neighborhood. No crap. I walk through here with my dog all the time. I'll never see anything like this. Yeah, no kidding, Laurie. Who lives in Queen Anne? More of the Random Question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Leewood, it's time to turn heads, drop jaws, and feel unstoppable. Beaumont Health and Wellness brings you award-winning weight loss, hormone therapy, and advanced beauty treatments like body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Sign up for our weight loss shots and get your first week free. Plus, receive a free body composition analysis and a free B12 shot to fire up your metabolism. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Spots are limited. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK from the Pinkies Plumbing Studio. You're in the men's room.
Great a question, 206-803-ROCK. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the random, men's room.
Random. Hola.
Hola. Chris, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's go with this one. What would you say, either maybe it was early on in your drinking days when you're first moving out of the house and all that? Everyone kind of looks for a cheap liquor, a cheap beer, whatever the deal is. What would you say was your cheap go-to liquor when you were growing up?
Definitely in college, it was Burnett's vodka.
Burnett's. I've never heard of Burnett's. Let me guess, it was in a plastic bottle.
Nope, glass.
Really?
It would remove stains off of our floor that cleaning products wouldn't.
Dude, we drink a lot of Burnett's as well.
I don't remember
you
Burnett's.
Did. Yeah. Hmm. Blue top, yep. Glass bottle.
Mike, you're familiar as well?
Nope.
All right, let me see this bottle here.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay, I do recognize
it. We drink a lot of Ruble as well.
I remember Ruble.
What did you drink it with?
Usually just Diet Coke back. Like, we were taking shots of it because we didn't care about our esophagus. We didn't care about our throats. We didn't care about any of that. It was just $9.99 a bottle. Let's go.
What about your beer? What was your cheap beer?
This is over in Central, Washington University. So in Ellensburg, it was, was it Busch Ice or Busch Light?
I think Busch Ice was cheaper than Busch Light. Busch Light was not expensive, but Busch Ice in those days seemed really. Did you ever dabble in a Mad Dog?
Oh, God. That still gives me nightmares. Yes. It was the worst, like, malt liquor / wine / this is not fruit juice combination ever put in your body.
It's fortified wine. Yeah,
fortified wine is what that is. We would drink, beer-wise, Mickey's Big Mouths, which were malt liquor. They were strong. They were cheap. And, man, they went down easy because they had a wide mouth on them.
Right. Milwaukee's Best? Come on, man.
Milwaukee's Best, the Beast.
The Beast.
Light was a big one. Anything that started with S.
Yep.
Schlitz, Schmitz.
What about Stoney's? Red Dog?
Red Dog was a great beer back in the day.
When I was in high school, like the one store we went to, they just 30 packs of Red Dog. Just everybody showed up with them.
Yeah, we'd always get Milwaukee's Best, and there's a place on North Avenue in Baltimore called Friendly's Liquors. And he was friendly because he would sell to anybody. And of course, you know, when you're like 16 years old, you thought the way to make yourself look older is simply to put on sunglasses. Somehow, you transformed into an adult, and I was elected that day to go to Friendly's Liquors, and I went in, and the sign, a big-ass paper sign outside in the window, that said, Milwaukee's Best, you can get a case for $7.99. So I walk in, kind of nervous, and I can see the guy looking at me, no big deal, grab the case, put it up there. I'm cool, because again, I got sunglasses and a hat on. There's no way he thinks I'm underage. So he rings it up, he's like, hey, man, that's $8.99. So, dude, the sign in the window says it's $7.99. He said, do you have ID? I said, no, I don't. He goes, right, it's $8.99. And sure enough, you see him just set the dollar to the side. Like, have a good night, man. But we realized, like, look, you can get a case from this guy. Just know he's going to upcharge you if you don't have an ID.
Right. Shockingly enough, I had a buddy, he right out of high school, he started working for his dad, his distributor. And it was Anheuser-Busch. But Dave knows, he still works there. He knows every single thing about beer. And back in the day, he's like, look, man, per ounce, the cheapest beer that you can buy, believe it or not at the time, was a Coors Light party ball. And they had these spheres that had a pump on top. And he's like, man, I'm telling you, pound for pound, as far as what you're paying for, you're going to get more beer for the price if you just get a party ball. So, I mean, we wouldn't even be having a party.
Oh, yeah, you'll get a party ball.
We just had the party ball in our refrigerator with nothing else because basically you had to take most of the shelves out. It didn't matter because we didn't have a lot of food.
Absolutely, there's no food in there.
So basically that became a kegerator. Maybe one shelf up top with like a stick of butter on it.
I mean, a stick of butter and some mustard.
Seriously. I mean, yeah, the condiment, that was, the door was probably the most full thing in that refrigerator.
Absolutely.
But if we could get a party ball, we always get a party ball.
I don't think they introduced the party ball out here, though. We brought it up before, and a lot of people are like, what
it's
is the course
time
party ball?
The party ball was gone by the time I was in high school.
Some other people are checking. Black Velvet and Rolling Rock.
What about Rich and Rare?
Let's see. Thunderbird and Carlo Rossi. Wow, man. I feel like Obi-Wan. That's a name I've not heard in a long time. Mad Dog 2020 is liquid crack. Yes, it is. Still Reserve, Thunderbird, Night Train, Mickey's, and Red Dog. Let's see.
What were the 40s that we used to buy in Baltimore?
At that the Jewish place.
Yeah.
I was going with change. This poor lady.
I cannot remember the
name.
We
always rolled them a handfuls of change, right? Basically, we'd scrounge up what we had, and half of it's like in the seats of Miles' car, change that we found on the floor at the station.
You know, it might have been Steel Reserve.
But we'd roll in there, and this lady, she'd see us walk up with these 240s. And I mean, just when she would give us the price, it was just the sound of change hitting the counter.
And you'd be surprised.
Steel Reserves.
Ugh, I could put some back, but one of those 40s, you had a buzz. You were good. I mean, you were good for like an hour. I mean, it really did. You drink a 40 of that malt liquor, and you just sit back and go, man, I've kind of got a smoothie on right now before we go out to a bar.
Anthony in Beacon Hill says, quote, cheap liquor choice, Black Velvet Canadian whiskey. Yeah, that's what's up.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Old English malt liquor. That is not a good one. Beer, let's see. Beer. White can, black lettering, said beer. Yeah, the generic stuff.
Right.
My parents were into that, man, like in the, I guess, late 70s. Like Jimmy Carter was president, but basically they would flood grocery stores and advertise it. Just, hey, man, it's generic food. So you'd buy a can, white label, black lettering, it said beans. That was it. But I remember my father would get six packs of
beer.
I mean, that's all. Yeah. I don't know if he liked it. If he didn't like it, he never commented. But, yeah.
My old man had a habit of coming home after Saturday nights telling my mom, honey, I spent a little money at the auction. And he, at this one, he bought a wheelbarrow full of beer. He strictly bought it from the silent auction, one, because it was cheap, and two, he wanted the wheelbarrow. The beer was absolute crap. Yeah. And he put it in the fridge downstairs, and so when me and my buddies would get together, he took all the good stuff. You know, he took the Budweiser, and he took whatever it was that he wanted, and he left the crap down there for us. There was like
What was the crap?
There was like Natty Ice down there. There was Rolling Rock down there. We didn't have any of the malt stuff, but it was
you missed out on the malt liquor.
I didn't. My mother-in-law relived her childhood with me when we started hanging out over in Issaquah, because we went on a mission looking for Mickey's, the grenades that they had.
Yeah,
dude, I got sick so many doggone weekends I realized I can't do malt liquor. I will yak
my malt liquor is like the path to homelessness. I'm convinced, man.
Well, no matter what, it seems like
that's what they're drinking.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, it seems like the prices remain consistent. So if you buy a six pack of our beer, you're going to find it within the $12 range, right? So that's $2. It's $2 a bottle of beer. And it was kind of the same way then. Like, if you went to a bar and the Rolling Rock was $1.50,
yeah,
you were paying 75 cents a bottle. So when you went in and got a six-pack of Rolling Rock, man, it was, you know, it was $4.
It didn't cost much.
It was nothing. So we typically ended up with buy that, too.
Anyone here drink Four Loko? I forgot about Four Loko, man.
We definitely had a couple nights we tried it, especially when they were going to ban it. We were like, screw it, let's drink it. Four Loko is making a big push back.
Really?
Yeah.
What was this whole thing? Was it caffeine and alcohol?
Right, it had too much caffeine and alcohol in it. So they banned it in a lot of places, especially around college campuses. But I think they're bringing it back now. It's just like a malt liquor without the caffeine.
Less caffeine.
Yeah, I don't know if it still has caffeine or not.
Okay. Reason we asked, what was your cheap go-to liquor? Today, by the way, National Beer Day. So on your way home, why not pick up a six-pack of Men's Room 20th Anniversary Lager IPA from Black Raven Brewing in the bright yellow can, or the silver one with the 20th Anniversary Lager. Or if not, join us Saturday at Muggle Shoot, 2 o'clock. We'll have those beers there. But either way, it is National Beer Day. They say if you're a beer drinker, you can celebrate by picking up an expensive four-pack of a double IPA or a cheaper case of something lighter and less interesting. But the website Visual Capitalist, they recently crunched the numbers on the average prices of 24 packs of beer across the country. The state with the cheapest case of beer is Illinois.
Really?
Where an average price for a case of beer is $16.43.
What is the primary beer that drags it down? Like, I can make the argument if I went back to Rochester, New York, man, it's not expensive here. And it's like, right, I guarantee you, Ginny Cream Ale is the anchor that brings the price down, your average price. So that stuff is garbage.
Now, the other cheap states, South Carolina was second, followed by New York State.
Really?
They have the third cheapest beer in the United States.
I'm telling you, that's got to be Genesee Brewing.
And you're taking probably New York City out of the equation on the average. And that still is a low average considering that that is included. Rhode Island, Kansas, Michigan, North Carolina, Arizona, Connecticut, which is one of the most expensive states to live in.
Oh, yeah.
And Virginia, believe it or not, which is not cheap either, unless you're in the western part of the state. Now,
well, Northern Virginia is super expensive. The west of the rest of Virginia is relatively cheap.
Yeah, and it should be.
Okay, here's where it gets weird. Where would you think is the priciest place in the United States for a case of beer?
Seattle, Washington, Los Angeles,
Utah.
It kind of makes sense. That's not a bad guess. Actually, just based on proximity, it is Alaska. Even though they make their own beer up there. But the average price is $33.62 per case of beer. We know everything is more expensive in Alaska.
Sure.
It's hard to get there.
You just think the price would be down because you've got Alaskan Brewing Company. You've got all these different things in Anchorage. So in Juneau, you would assume that if you just drink the local beer. But then again, you've got to import the hops.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to get all these things up there. So
and generally, local beers are more expensive.
Which is weird.
That's a good point. So is it the same situation for Hawaii then, like Honolulu?
Hawaii is third. The weird thing about it is the second highest cost per state for a case of beer is Wyoming. Wyoming and Montana. Both of those states have incredibly expensive beer.
Why?
Is there just no local swill out there?
Or just not enough people?
Right?
But don't you worry. Oregon and Washington make the list.
Of course.
We have some of the most expensive beer. Pennsylvania, because of their laws. Nevada, Vermont, Tennessee. All among the priciest beer ever.
Tennessee, that bro, like, we want you to drink whiskey.
Yeah.
I mean, that's our bread and butter, man.
That would not surprise me. Random.
Hello, Joel. Welcome to the men's room.
How you doing?
Hola.
Joel, welcome to the program.
We used to shoot country club cans.
All right.
In cans.
Country club.
Yeah, and you take the can opener and open the bottom and then put your face on that, and then crack the top, and it would shoot.
Is this a beer? I'm not familiar with Country Club.
Yeah, it's not any good.
I didn't think it was.
I'm looking at the label.
It looks like, hey, this beer tastes like ass, but you're broke.
Country Club. Yeah, it sounds fancy. Okay, since we're talking about beer, and you brought it up, what would you say is your favorite legal drug? Your favorite legal drug.
Legal.
What's your favorite legal drug?
Well, then weed. I mean,
well, there's alcohol.
Cannabis.
Yeah, right there with you, man.
Okay. How often do you smoke?
And Bud Ice. I just finished one.
All right. So at least on the every day, probably.
Are you still there?
Yeah.
I get some good stuff.
Sounds that way.
All right.
Yeah, we believe you.
Yeah,
I will say that.
I'm comfortably numb right now.
You sound like you are.
Well, good for you, man. Yeah, that's a nice thing about legal. It's funny, man. You know, when they legalized weed.
Would you take cannabis over nicotine?
No.
Yeah.
All right, nicotine's a drug. I don't perceive it, but you're like, caffeine's a drug.
Yes, it is. That's what I'm saying. What is your favorite legal drug?
I think the most popular drug in the U.S. is caffeine by leaps and bounds, whether it's through chocolate, whether it's through soda, whether it's through coffee, right? Nicotine, obviously, is my go-to, because I could probably give up weed before I give up cigarettes.
All right, let's assume this. What if it was prescribed to you?
What's that? Oh, drugs?
It's a drug, but you're allowed to have it because you get a prescription for it. So,
if that's the case, it'd have to be something like morphine.
Morphine?
Because they don't prescribe the illegal drugs that I like. They're not prescription.
You need
dentist might.
You need morphine if you got morphine.
Yeah,
I'm saying prescription wise. I know I've taken Percocet before to go into a procedure.
Yeah.
Okay, but that just makes me incredibly loopy. Too loopy to even it works if you are in pain.
Sure.
But as a recreational drug, I don't necessarily like it. But I do like Adderall. I've had a couple Adderalls.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Legal speed.
I don't have a prescription for it, but I've been given it once or twice. I'm like, this is okay. I can see why people like this.
I take Valium.
Ooh, that's not a bad call,
now, does
man.
That knock you down or does that bring you up?
to me, every time I had it, it's almost like a prescription of like really good weed.
Okay.
You're just like, oh, I feel totally relaxed.
Okay.
Yeah, I do dig drugs.
Like I don't want to like nicotine. I'm addicted to nicotine. It's not my favorite legal drug because it's so addictive. So for me, it's just like, it's a terrible habit. I'd almost say caffeine. I mean, obviously there's alcohol, but I wake up every morning and I need a couple cups of coffee.
Really?
Yeah, I just, I like the taste of it. I'm not even sure if I get jacked up on it. I just like starting my day with a warm cup of coffee.
I mean, I could live without caffeine. Sometimes I drink coffee in the morning, sometimes I won't. Mike, I don't think you could go a day without your caffeine.
Oh, yeah.
Multiple hits. Like freebasing over there.
I am, man.
I can see you melting it down on a spoon and just injecting it directly into your
vein. I mean, that's tough about these questions, though, right? It's like, what do you think?
You forget that certain things are drugs, you know, because look.
Right,
because
you say you're addicted to it, but it's like, right, but at some point, like, tobacco is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely addicted, but you forget that it's a drug, because to me, it's like, it's just a cigarette. But you're right, it's a drug. And then you forget the caffeine's a drug, but generally, the way the things work out, like, if people on the federal level enjoy it, then it's going to stay legal. So everyone's addicted to caffeine. Not everyone, but it's a generalization, right? But it ain't going anywhere. They'll tell you, oh, it's bad for you, all this stuff. It ain't going anywhere, because we like coffee, we like Coca-Cola, we like chocolate, so it'll stick around.
Reese, we asked, what is your favorite legal drug? Here's a weird one. We have a lawyer in Fort Worth, Texas, and they are in the news for claiming now that you could get a DUI from drinking too much coffee. He posted a video about how DUI and DWI don't just mean booze or illegal drugs. If they impair your ability to drive, legal drugs can also get you in trouble. And he specifically mentioned caffeine. He says it's not something that actually happens. It just could legally. But there are examples of people getting arrested for it.
Really? Too much coffee?
A guy in California, he got pulled over in 2015 for driving erratically. Caffeine was the only thing in his system. They charged him with a DUI for it. Okay?
I mean, if it impairs your ability.
They eventually dropped the charge after they could not prove there was enough caffeine in his system to be intoxicated from it. But in theory, yes, you could get a DUI for having too many espressos and being too jacked up while driving.
But DUI is driving under the influence.
Correct.
And not only intoxicated, right. You're under the influence caffeine.
Of that drug.
Hey, man, if it affects your driving, I don't know. I feel like so many things could fall under that category then. It would explain a lot of drivers.
Yeah, totally. More of the Random Question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.